Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
So let's talk about lighting design in your home.
Okay. Well, as gay people, no overhead lights.
No.
Ever.
No overhead lights.
Don't turn on the big light.
I do have one cute overhead light I'm looking at here in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like...
It's from a bygone era.
It is, which is why I think it's cute. Mm-hmm. But I don't leave that on most of the time.
No.
Like it's lamps and more lamps.
And candles.
And candles.
It's like come into my coven, basically.
I mean, it is. It is. It's like...
It's low lighting, moody. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like why turn on an overhead light?
Why?
No.
Right.
I even have like recessed lighting, and if I have to turn it on, it is, and it's on like a dimmer.
But they're all dimmers.
Oh, it's all the way down on the dimmer.
Correct.
Because,
No.
No.
No. It's so about having just like really nice, soft lighting.
Mm-hmm. It's homophobic if it's too bright.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. We don't need
We're also trying to keep that glossy and glow.
Glossy and glow that fantasy going for ourselves as long as we possibly can.
Put the gelatin on the camera lens.
Because gelatin does and gelatin can. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smear it with petroleum jelly.
That's right. We just want that soft, like, Drag Race season one glow where, like, everything looks like you're, like, peeking through, like a sweaty... Like a spyglass. You know what I mean? Like everything.
Sweaty spyglass.
Sweaty spyglass. That's what it looks like.
Sweaty spaghetti.
That's what we want in our spaces.
Yeah. You have a lot of lamps.
I do.
And
I
a lot
do.
Of candles.
I'm not going to lie. I was considering getting more lamps. I'm not kidding.
Crutch.
Like, right in the like foyer of my apartment, there is an overhead light. But I was like, wouldn't this be so nice if I had a little sconce that I could like turn on
mm-hmm.
that was battery operated? Like, mm-hmm. so I'm
You also have you have a Paul Revere lantern in your bathroom.
I do. I legit do. That mm-hmm. turns on and it looks like it's fire.
Mm-hmm. One if by land, two if by sea.
That's right.
And that one lantern is broiling.
Well, the reason I have that lantern is because I have a national parks themed bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your artwork lives.
Mm-hmm. All of my artwork.
Not all of your artwork, but your national parks specific artwork
yes.
lives, and also all of my patches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like national parks all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And like my shower curtain is like a forest scape with a little fox. And mm-hmm. yeah, I just really like it. And
it feels woodsy with the lantern.
I wanted a light that was soft, that was not an overhead light. So
right.
that I think it's fun in the middle of the night to walk into a lantern lit bathroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was my fantasy as a child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So bring it to life
it's
as an adult.
It's adult night lighting.
Adult night lighting, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks. At the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land, also known as Carlsbad Cavern National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Mescalero Apache and the Lipan Apache.
Carl. Carl, get in here, Carl.
It's punchy recording, everybody. Whew. Take your breath.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be giggly.
So last episode, we did the lower cave tour here in Carlsbad.
Episode 138.
Cavern National Park. And what an incredible tour that was. That we did this tour back in the spring of 2024 on a trip that included Guadalupe Mountains, White Sands National Park, and also Saguaro over near Tucson.
That's right.
And this is day two of this trip. We now are about to leave. We have ended our lower cave tour. And our next plan is to do the natural entrance followed by the big room.
That's right.
Now, for this episode is entirely about the natural entrance because we felt that there was enough to cover here just in the natural entrance.
And because then, this is a long trail.
This is not a short thing.
No.
This is not a short experience. And so it was a magnificent experience.
Right.
And the big room also deserves its own episode.
Absolutely.
So we're doing both of those things.
Yeah. So after finishing the tour, we ended up back up in the visitor center area of Carlsbad. Now, this is an interesting space in that when we came into the space in the morning, there's the queue lines for ticketing. To the left, there is a store that is not the official visitor center. There's also like an eatery that's over there.
Yeah, that's all what they call concessioners,
yeah.
Meaning like they're coming in and they're there to sell stuff that's related, but they aren't
affiliated with the park.
Yeah.
And then to the right, where the actual visitor center is, the Interpretive Museum, that's where we spent a bunch of time at the beginning before our tour to kind of learn a little bit more about the cavern. And tucked away in the back area here is the official visitor center for the park. So we kind of come up right into that space. And we do take some time to look at the museum exhibition a little bit more. And then we go into the main gift shop.
This was where we decided, okay, we're going to get our patches from here as well. Like we had gotten some patches over on the other side.
Right.
We were like, oh no.
We returned those patches from the other side.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, good for us.
Yeah. We were these aren't the official.
So we're going to go get the real ones so that we are giving money to the park.
Yeah, exactly.
So we take some time here to do the gift shop over here. That's also when Becky bought the Nevada Bar Blind Scent books for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we decide it's time for lunch.
Yeah.
So we head to the car and we grab our food and we sit out front to eat our lunch.
This was incredibly windy. I don't know if you remember that. Like,
oh, I do. It was a very windy
day. At Carlsbad when we were there. Was incredibly windy. So it was like, how much do we want to sit outside here? But while we're sitting there, there was a visitor with their enormous St. Bernard. So much to my, I don't even know if it's chagrin, but Dusty.
To use the cliched phrase.
Yeah. Dusty is like obsessed with dogs out in the world. So
we saw Malamute today who jumped up and gave me a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I love them.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
You have that outward Leo energy. It's that moon.
I do.
My emotional center is just outward love.
Well,
I think.
And I think dogs sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs know I'm special.
And mine is Cancer moon. And I'm just sad.
So dogs know that you're
sad.
Mean.
Yeah, mean. Dogs know that you're working on your kindness.
That's that.
Yeah.
That's that.
That was a phrase that was lobbed at me today. Oh, so you're working on your kindness.
Mm-hmm. No. The way it went down was you said, so I've really been struggling with, and I filled in the blank and said kindness.
Yeah.
Which is an excellent joke, which is like A plus. I get an A plus for that joke. Mm-hmm. And you even acknowledged that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it has been. You're twisting it the way you always do. Into whatever you want to make.
Uh-huh, into my dark fantasy.
Into your narrative of how I'm cruel to you and you are Lady Innocent.
I am Lady Innocent. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The scales of justice will tip my way.
That's right.
So, Dusty, I think you gushed over this dog.
I did. Well, it was this adorable St. Bernard who was just sort of like laying about, and
he was giant.
Like rolling around, super social, super friendly. The owner was like, oh my God, loves people. Please say hi. And mm-hmm. I was like, you are? I'm bringing you home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this yet. So mm-hmm. I didn't, but I dreamt of it.
Yeah. I dreamed a dream of dogs correct. Gone by. Their snouts were wet. Their tails were wagging.
There it is.
That was pretty good. Our next plan, after eating lunch and sitting outside in the wind tunnel that it was to do the natural entrance and head down to the big room.
So these two areas, the natural entrance and the big room, are the two big main attraction areas here at Carlsbad. Like when people are coming to Carlsbad, they're coming to do the natural entrance and they're coming to do the big room.
And to potentially see the bats take flight.
To see the bats mm-hmm. from the amphitheater. Mm-hmm. So some people may look at the map and the access points and see that there are, in fact, we covered this in our last episode, but to make sure that we cover it here, there are a few ways to access the cave, the cavern mm-hmm. here. One is through the natural entrance. The other is the elevator. And obviously, the elevator can lead you down into the big room, but I want everybody to stop and listen very closely, which is...
Gather round.
Part of what makes the Carlsbad experience is the natural entrance. Mm-hmm. So the option to take the elevator is there if walking down the natural entrance isn't possible, of course, and that we need that for those who cannot walk down the natural mm-hmm. entrance. But if walking through the 1.2 miles of natural entrance is possible, then that is something absolutely to do and not miss.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Having gone down the elevator to start and ended up in the lunchroom, mm-hmm. not as impressive as walking down through the natural entrance.
Correct.
In no way, shape, or form.
So here's a little bit about the natural entrance. So it is entirely decline. Mm-hmm. It is the 1.2 mile trail from the top all the way to the lunchroom, which is what you just said, which is the room that the elevator lets you out in, which is sort of like the room you have to start in order to go to the big room. Before the elevator was put in 1932, the only way to access the big room was the natural entrance. So if you wanted to go down, you had to walk all the way down toward the big room and then walk all the way back out.
Woof.
So, yeah, our plan was to walk down the natural entrance and then do the big room and then assess how we felt to see if we wanted to maybe walk our way out the way that people always did before 1932.
Without any hiking poles and with a pretty decent grade.
That's like, right.
The grade was nothing to fool around with.
Oh, no. And we'll get there. Mm-hmm. So here's something to note regarding the grade and just regarding the natural entrance in general. Obviously, we have the big room, which we'll get to later. And there is an elevator to the big room, which is great. The natural entrance is, for the most part,
paved,
and it is a sloped grade almost the entire time, mm-hmm. and there's railings, but it is not considered accessible. It does not meet the standards
for ADA
to be considered accessible. Mm-hmm. I would imagine some people might try to do it with like maybe other people helping for assistance, but it is not something one could do safely solo if one was using a wheelchair.
I would be terrified.
For sure. And because again, it's not ADA accessible.
No.
Not considered ADA accessible.
That grade. No, thank you. So after we wrap up lunch and store our lunch back in the car, we are very grateful that we had arrived in the parking lot as early as we did for the lower cave tour, because this lot was full. Like no spots to be had anywhere.
No. So it was time for us to go to the natural entrance mm-hmm. because we had a timed entry. Like your time slot is between here and here.
Yeah.
So we wanted to, you know, make as much use of our time there as possible. So we got there at the beginning of our window. And so we head around the back of the visitor center following signs, and we get to holding area. I remember it was pretty chilly here at this holding area because of the wind and because of everything.
And it was like, overcast at this point.
And we were like, oh my God, it's so cold. Like, are we going to move soon?
This was the day where if we didn't come here, it was going to be the day we had hiked Guadalupe Peak. And it was so windy.
Glad we didn't do that.
And that would have been rough. So, yeah.
Bad.
Mm-hmm. But eventually we kind of queue in this waiting area. And then the ranger comes and lets us in as a group, which leads us down to the amphitheater first.
That's right. Now, the amphitheater, it's sitting there, and like upon the natural entrance, when you're heading toward it, first you walk into the back of an amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And this does straight up look like an old Greek amphitheater.
Yeah.
Like it's like a half moon kind of shape. Yeah. Like all of it's heading down into one direction. This is where one sits to watch the bats.
Mm-hmm.
So if the bats were out, the bats would fly around. They would swarm because there is bat colony life here at the front of this natural entrance.
Yeah.
Just beyond the amphitheater, like we walk all the way down the stairs and just beyond it, we can see what is called the natural entrance. And it is this arch-like shape. It is tan, made of tan and orange rock. And looking down into it, we can see a hole that leads further and further into the earth. And that there is a series of switchbacks that kind of disappear into the darkness.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah with over 10 episodes across two separate seasons? It would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! All right, since we're in Carlsbad, we don't usually do this, but it seems appropriate. We're going to continue to play The Vault.
The Vault. It's where we name a category. We can only put three things in the vault. Everything else will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. You're going to put three U.S. cities in the vault.
Three U.S. cities?
Mm-hmm. You get three.
Okay.
Small, large.
Everything in between.
Everything in between. Pick your fighter.
Okay. All right, three U.S. cities.
It's like the Independence Day of our times.
I know. Okay, three U.S. cities. I think I have mine.
Okay, you can go ahead and I'll be thinking of mine while you're thinking of yours.
Okay, the first one is New York. I'm putting that in there. New York is staying.
Mm-hmm.
The second is Philly. And as somebody who lives between both of them, I'm like, yeah, I love both of them. They're both staying.
Mm-hmm.
Third, Seattle.
Oh, interesting.
I loved Seattle. I mean, I was thinking about Chicago. Chicago is wonderful. Also thinking about San Francisco. San Francisco is incredible. And LA. I liked LA a lot. But no, I think Seattle takes it for me.
Okay.
That's my answer. How about yourself?
So I think I have to put New York in. I think it's kind of hard not to.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the cultural center of the United States.
Yeah.
And it would be hard to just get rid of that.
It would be, yeah.
I think I'm also going to put Asheville.
Oh, God. Yes, of course.
North Carolina. And now I haven't been since the hurricane, so I'm sure things have shifted. I also know the city had kind of undergone a population boom. So I am not really sure what the deal is there, but I love the idea that it's so close to the mountains that you also have that city. It's cooler there. It's an artsy community. It just feels like very neat. And I think the environs around make it also very, very, very beautiful. Okay. So three. Now, I lived in Philly for 7 years and I do love Philadelphia, but I don't think she's on the list. I think I'm going to say Portland, Oregon. And here's why. There's so much around Portland. There's so many spaces that one can get to, like wilderness, beautiful, like beaches, all of it. Portland is a strange place, but it's a unique place. And when I visited, I had a hard time with it, only in that I just struggled to find the footing there. But I think now having been to Seattle twice, I think Portland is a little bit of a smaller city. And I like that. I like that about it. I think it's a little bit more accessible too.
Fair. I do want to just point out that you did say your last two answers here were about things outside of the city,
right,
that you were saving, even though you said city.
I know, but I'm assuming that, you know.
I don't know. I think you just get the city saved and everything else is gone. But
okay.
I also don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's not how the
rules
work.
This is a very gray game we're playing here.
It is a gray game. Mm-hmm. Put him on the list. Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions, St. Louis. I loved St. Louis.
Oh, interesting.
I also love Boston, mostly because, I mean, you don't mess around with the Boston people. And I deeply know that and respect that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like while I don't know, I mean, I think I would be fine living in Boston. And I think I would probably enjoy very much living in Boston, mostly because everyone's so harsh. Mm. And I think like...
And you just have dog love energy.
I'm just so soft all the time. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about Carlsbad a little bit more. This is now our third cave park. We had previously visited in our big summer road trip in 2021, both Mammoth Cave and Wind Cave National Parks. And we want to kind of quickly talk a little bit about how Carlsbad was formed. So here is a little information from the U.S. Geological Survey. Quote, the caves in Carlsbad Cavern are unusual as they formed from sulfuric acid instead of carbonic acid. Most caves in the world are formed when water interacts with carbon dioxide and seeps downwards. The location of Guadalupe Mountains played a key role in the creation of these caves. Carlsbad Caverns National Park is located near the border of New Mexico and Texas and close to the Permian Basin, which hosts large oil fields. Hydrogen sulfide-rich water rose from the oil reserves as late as 12 million years ago and mixed with groundwater to form sulfuric acid. The limestone was dissolved at the water table, and therefore Carlsbad Cavern was dissolved from below and not from above. Gypsum blocks, the byproduct of sulfuric acid dissolution, can be seen today on the floor of the big room of Carlsbad Caverns, end quote.
So we are standing at the edge of the amphitheater and we are looking down at the switchbacks that are just cascading downward into the natural entrance. While we're doing this, while we're standing there, what are you thinking and feeling?
I mean, this is Dante entering hell with Virgil. Like, you're at the hell mouth here. And that's what it felt the entire time. I was just like, journey to the center of the earth. Like, here we are traveling like the nine circles of hell. Like, that was the imagery that was with me the entire time. What about you?
Same, very much. To me, I was like, if aliens visited our earth, this is what I would want them to see. Like, this, I think, is one of the most impressive things I've ever witnessed here that our earth has created.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's in hindsight. But at the moment, standing there, I was like, so curious what we were in for.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks like it's going into the abyss.
Yeah. I also felt like if Orpheus was coming out of the earth from Hades and he was looking back to see if Eurydice was still there, this would be the location.
Yes.
It had that feel to it for sure. And she would have disappeared right before his eyes because Orpheus, you weren't supposed to look back, honey. Spoiler alert.
And he did.
Yeah.
So the bats were not out this day because it was too early in the season for the bats. Mm-hmm. So no bats, but we begin walking down these switchbacks and they are, again, paved. The grade is declining.
Oh, yeah.
And they're moving pretty quickly.
Yep.
And what is exciting is that never in my life have I experienced a situation where we're going to have to decline almost 800 feet.
No.
And then we have the option to take an elevator
back. I know. Up. How posh.
So, yes, we'll see if we end up doing that. Mm-hmm. So, the more we go down the switchback, the more decline we're gaining, and the closer we get to this dark abyss that is in front of us.
The cave is incredibly large. Like, we mean that the ceiling is so far above our heads, just even entering into the natural entrance. But the further down the grade we go, it just is very apparent how wide this area of the cave is and how big the cave is. I just remember looking back and turning around and seeing the entranceway. And initially it was like, oh, okay, we're not that far. Like, but you could see, because it was lit from behind, the silhouettes of people that started to look smaller and smaller and smaller at the mouth of the entrance. It just was a mind boggle. And Becky had mentioned to us that Carlsbad's not known for its large cave system. Like, Mammoth Cave is something like over 400 miles of cave.
It's the largest cave system. It's the largest cave in the world. And so when it says largest cave, it means cave system.
Yeah.
Space.
I would say that Wind Cave is known for its box work. That's sort of like its claim to fame. Carlsbad was known, and was, we were told, was known for kind of what was inside the cave. And we were going to discover
just
that.
Starting to get a glimpse of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue down these switchbacks, and finally they lead us off to the left. And we now suddenly pass through this like dark gate doorway. It did feel like hell for a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a gate that gets locked at night to prevent humans from accessing it during closed hours.
But it's a bat gate too, so bats could fly through if they needed to.
Correct.
They have, it's got that slatting in it, essentially.
We continue to walk down the trail, and now the switchbacks have kind of stopped, and we're just sort of heading down into this one direction.
Yeah.
And it's like off to the left, and we're just going further and further and further. And there's still some light pouring in from the natural entrance from above. And it's still, it's highlighting some rocks that we're seeing to the right and left. But this corridor is big. Like, it's a big sort of like shaft of a corridor as we're walking through.
And as we continue down, we descend far enough that the light from the natural entrance is lost. It's gone. And at this time, we also encounter a big swing of a U-turn, which continues us on the trail, but also turns us further away from the light. And this is where we start to see some interesting things based off of what engineers and lighters have started to do. But here's some more info from the U.S. Geological Survey.
Quote, eventually, the roof of the cave collapsed, creating an above-ground entrance to the cave and allowing air to circulate through the cave. While the cave did not form due to carbonic acid dissolution, after the roof collapsed, several of the structures within Carlsbad Cavern were formed by carbonic acid dissolution.
So after making this U-turn in the trail, we continue to descend. Again, 800 feet. This is a lot of down.
And at this time, we're at about 200 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're traveling between 200 and 400 feet.
Mm-hmm. And there's really no light from the natural entrance. But as I was saying before, this is where lighting designers have taken their lead and made things magnificent.
And they really have here. Because, I mean, what is that little hopeful quote? Like, the light of one candle can dispel the darkness.
Sure.
Right?
I don't know that because I'm a dark girl.
So they have excellent bulbs that they're using here to shoot light in very specific directions in order to highlight certain things and rocks and certain formations. And they're like, we're starting to notice this, like formations look very specific and like lit from a certain angle.
Well, they start to feel sculptural.
Yes.
Because of the lighting, there is this dramatic sculptural feel that is happening in the cave. It feels as though it could be a theater piece. Like, I don't know how you weren't just like agog with wonder at everything you wanted to do with lighting your entire theater.
Oh,
career.
I certainly was like, the whole time.
The gradation, the change of the light, the showing of the form for me as a visual artist was just like, this is truly incredible. Thank you, lighting designers.
And speaking of great lighting and sculptural form, we encounter our first sort of formation that has a name, and this is called Devil's Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And Devil's Spring is a formation that looks like water bubbling up and shooting out from the earth, but it's frozen as rock. So this is directly from the interpretive signage.
Quote, Devil's Spring is not actually a spring. It's a pool in a limestone cavity fed only by dripping water. Like other cavern pools, no streams flow in or out of Devil's Spring. Contaminants cannot be washed away. Litter can harm the pools. The copper in coins turns rocks green. Decaying food discolors the water and produces foul odors. End quote. And this signage features a photo of park rangers cleaning up coins from this pool.
So this formation is literally inside of like some water. Mm-hmm. Here. This photo from the interpretive signage shows all these coins that people thought was like a good idea to throw in here,
right,
and make a wish. And I'm like, sorry, honey, your wish is not coming true.
Yeah, they have a foundation for that.
That's right. That was a great joke. Well done. Well done. A plus to you, girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who's working on her kindness now?
That's right.
Not me.
That's right. So cave ecosystems are hugely important to be aware of and know how they work, which is if there's water inside of a cave, that's not because
rain.
Now there could be like groundwater, something like that. That's like, who knows, but like they know where the water is coming from and it is only dripping down from above. Like it's coming through, it's adding to the cave formation and then it's dripping out there into like the water that's been collected. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So adding anything to that water, right, totally changes that ecosystem.
Right. And it's also like, think about any other park space that you're in and leaving no trace. It's the same thing for a cave. I blame this on like the Disneyfication of a lot of things. It's like, oh, well, there's a pool of water and let's throw a coin in and make a wish, or like any sort of fountain space that exists in the world, like the Trevi Fountain. And I just blame them. I'm blaming fountain people.
Blame them.
Yeah.
I love blame.
So not long after Devil's Spring, we come upon Whale's Mouth. This is a famous cave formation seen in The Natural Entrance. The drapery, a cave formation term, so drapery, we talked about this in our last episode, almost looks like sheets, like waving sheets of fabric that are stone or that are limestone or gypsum that have formed as water kind of runs down them. What ends up happening here is this looks like the baleen of a whale. And remember, y'all, whales don't have teeth. They have baleen, 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 baleen.
Don't mistake it just because it's in a mouth.
There we go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it already looks like a mouth because like it sort of looks like the mouth is open, but because it looks like a whale's baleen, they named it Whale's Mouth.
Yeah.
What's great about Carlsbad is that anytime there is like a formation that is to be encountered that kind of is specific and like is in an area where it's like, you would naturally look at it and go, oh, that's so interesting. It usually has a name.
Yeah. Yeah. And some great lighting.
Great lighting. And then an illuminated sign to tell you.
So as we continue, the trail has become back and forth switchbacks, just going back and forth down. And sometimes they become pretty steep. I remember picking up speed unintentionally.
Yeah.
You have to sort of break yourself so you're not coming to a run,
yeah,
essentially.
And I remember there were people going up and I just was like, why would you go up?
I mean, it felt very far down at this point.
I'd already decided. I was like,
no.
I don't know that I'm going back up this because the grade is so steep. Why would I just sign up to do this uphill?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. It isn't long after this that everything in the cave suddenly opens up to... This is a view I'll never forget. It just is this enormous expanse. And we can see the switchbacks diving further down and the ceiling above us opens up. So now that we are standing in what feels like the most gigantic cave system, like I don't think I've ever been in a room this big before. It was truly like awe-inspiring is like the best thing that comes to mind.
And with that, let's take our next break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Beatrice Horror.
Or as she goes by more commonly,
B-Horror.
B-Horror. Mm-hmm. So who is B-Horror?
B-Horror is the runner-up all of her life. But she's funny and she's campy. And even though she's not the best, she is still very likable.
I agree. I think that B-Horror is like kind of like a goth queen, mm-hmm. like a dark girl goth queen who's actually just like a kind of a soft girl comedian.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sponsored by Spencer's.
Sponsored by Spencer's.
Not That's a sponsor right. of us.
No. No. No, not at all. But I think she does. I think she kind of has like this very sort of like dark outer shell. And then she's actually just like a soft comedy queen.
Well, I think that is fun because it's this total juxtaposition of mm-hmm. this very gothy exterior. And you think, well, this is going to be some raunchy hard comedy. And
it's
no,
just like it's soft, just soft observational humor.
But it's hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like, can we just talk about today? I got this avocado and
I look forward to seeing where this is going.
I'm trying to invent material right now. But I feel like that's where she would start.
Sure. I was like, I cannot like, wait for the punchline of this joke.
And I noticed before I opened it, I was like, is that avocado judging me? Mm-hmm. Maybe I deserve to be judged by an avocado. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's in that world.
So it's like self-deprecating too?
I think it's just more curious. Like, she's curious about everything.
Sure.
And then, therefore, everything's funny.
Okay.
Because right. I think, yeah. So, B-Horror, I think, is... She's not quite horror. Mm-mm. Uh-huh. And she's always a runner-up. Mm-hmm. But she's endearing. Mm-hmm. She's, as they say, what, like, 9 people's favorite thing. Then mm-hmm. 100 people's 9th favorite thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think she'd probably be my favorite thing.
Okay. Does she have a song she lip-syncs to?
I kind of want her to lip sync not well to something like, I don't know, what's scary? Something like a little
I feel
scary.
Like, I feel like I've seen people cover like 9-inch Nails, but change the beat and the melody and sing it.
Yeah, something like that. I'd be
like almost
that.
like I want to bleep you like an animal. They've sung that song.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a little bit
or
more.
Or maybe she
like,
does like one of those hard songs that they turn into a ballad.
Yeah.
And maybe she does a kind of like lyrical dance to it.
Sure.
Not well.
Oh, okay.
I think the not well thing is, I think she does comedy well, but I think all the other skills are B+ at best. Mm-hmm. They are Suzanne's B+ talent.
Yeah, there we are. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, B-Horror.
Okay, so we do recommend listening to our trail mix on K-Formations. You can find it in our episode finder. But let's quickly review speleothems. The term means K-Formations. Things we are seeing in caves didn't just show up there yesterday. It took thousands of years to form them. From stalactites to stalagmites to drapery to popcorn, speleothems of all varieties can be seen in Carlsbad Cavern.
From the USGS, quote, the speleothems in Carlsbad Caverns are due to rain and snowmelt soaking through the limestone and the water absorbing gases and minerals from the limestone. When this water evaporates and emits carbon dioxide, calcite remains and slowly builds up over time. End quote.
We are in what is called the main corridor, and it is the main event for sure.
Oh, yeah.
To add to what you were saying before our drag corner break, this was, without a doubt, something I will never forget. It is permanently, it lives in my mind, the view into the main corridor and how it just cascades down but keeps opening. And it's just cave formations in all directions, so high, vaulted up in the air. And then, and light going in all directions. I mean, it is magnificent.
Well, it's sort of like we're dropping below on the path, the ceiling. Like, we are level with the ceiling of this section of the cave, and then the path takes us below it. And so it's this giant reveal. Like, it is this, what a breathtaking reveal.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. You don't expect it.
The other thing is, in the main corridor, what's happening with the descent is that we're now going to go from 400 to 800 feet in almost a quarter of the distance.
Yeah, so it was real quick.
So it was fast, which means things got even steeper and even more switchbacks.
Yeah, it was important, especially here, to turn around and look up behind us, especially if the plan is to not walk back up, because looking behind you on any trail that you're doing where the plan is not to return, always worth it.
And always.
Especially here in this cave, the lighting alone. And it should be mentioned that this is a well-traveled path. There were so many people.
There were hundreds of people.
It wasn't like wall to wall. I didn't feel claustrophobic. We had plenty of space around us, but we were never alone. There were people everywhere, and it felt like a pilgrimage almost. Like that's sort of what it had that vibe of.
Looking up, there are boulders hanging in the ceiling. There's so many things to take in, and there are definitely still moments of like this small formation over here and this formation over here that has a name, things like that. But we are descending and descending while taking this in and also watching our step and making sure that we're not tripping because it's now a little steeper here and the switchbacks are tighter and we're moving about, but we're still looking out in front of us and looking behind us. Then we finally come upon Iceberg Rock. Now, Iceberg Rock is first and foremost not an actual iceberg, because this is a cave and that would not be the case here. But we will let the interpretive signage inform us. Quote, imagine the tremendous rumble when Iceberg Rock broke loose from the cavern wall here and fell to the floor below. Iceberg Rock and other breakdown blocks fell from the walls and ceiling after the acidic water that formed the cave drained away. Only the tip of Iceberg Rock is visible from here. Farther down the trail, you will walk around the base of this 200,000-ton giant. End quote. So it's called Iceberg Rock because it cleaved off of the ceiling and fell to the floor like an iceberg in the ocean.
Which I can't imagine the reverberation from that.
Oh,
and
God.
The damage that elsewhere in the cave occurred because of all of that activity. Yeah.
There's also like a great visual on the interpretive signage where it's like, you can see the ceiling and you can see where the rock was. And then the second one is like, this is what it looks like after it fell.
Yeah.
And like the shape is still the same.
Near here is another area where one can see even more rooms. We didn't see these as they're only possible to see if you're doing the King's Palace tour. And if you can find a really great sort of illustrated map of Carlsbad and the big room and like the walk down the natural entrance, and there is a tour that kind of juts off that you're able to do if you book it, called the King's Palace Tour. But you can still kind of peer into those areas.
So from here, the trail finally winds us into the lunchroom.
Back again.
Is the room where the elevator is. And restrooms are here. There was also clearly some places where concessioners used to sell food. That's why it was called the lunchroom, originally. Mm-hmm. But it was like kind of like a small satellite visitor center inside the cave. So we regrouped here. We made use of the restrooms.
Which I didn't go in when we were down the first time, but went in now. And it's wild to go to a bathroom in a cave.
It is.
The cave it's bathrooms literally like were interesting.
It is a cave bathroom that is made
to fit the cave.
To fit the cave.
It's not like a square-shaped room.
And there's plumbing.
Yeah.
So it's all running through there.
Yeah.
But we take a moment here and we regroup and we decide, okay, where we're headed next to explore is the big room. So let's put the natural entrance on the Karen Stone scale. I think I'm giving this a...
That was my inclination too. It's hard to say, only in that we only did the decline.
Yeah.
And I think if we had gone, if we go back to Carlsbad, which I would relish the opportunity to, I would love to try to hike up it just to see what that is like.
Yeah.
To also see it from the other perspective of going up and to also feel like I'm emerging out of the cave. But I don't love decline like that and the grade of it. It's not, I don't like the way it feels on my knees, But it wasn't like the path was clear. It was steep. There was guardrails. I felt safe. But a 4 feels appropriate for me.
So an 8 out of 20 Karen Stones for the natural entrance, or if you want to reduce that fraction all the way to a 2 out of 5?
Mm.
No, 1 out of 5. Mm-mm. 1 out of 5. That would be 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
And a 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
8 out of 20 Karen Stones, everybody. And now let's end this episode with
some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right. Why don't I get us started?
Yeah, I was going to make that suggestion.
Oh, were you?
I was, because you often ask me to.
Oh, okay, great. So this Jeopardy is called, well, you mentioned homophobia earlier.
Yeah.
This is called
ever pervasive in our world.
Not to be heteronormative, but these are heteronyms.
Oh.
So let's talk about homonyms and heteronyms. Homonyms are the same word mm-hmm. that sound the same and are pronounced the same, but have different meanings. Okay. Like bat. Bat could mm-hmm. be the creature that flies. It could be something used in a baseball game, right? A heteronym is a word that is spelled the same, but in different cases may be pronounced differently.
Okay.
And because of that, changes the meaning.
Okay.
And sometimes that means like it could be two different nouns, or it could be a noun and a verb. So all of the answers in this, so I have like an example clue. Oh. So I'm going to give you an example okay. clue.
I was going to say like bear and bear, like a bear, and then to like bear something, to carry something. They're spelled yes. the same, but they also have
different meanings. Different meanings. That would be a heteronym.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct. So it's when the meaning is, it's when the, well, no, no, bear and bear would be a homonym.
Okay.
These are words that are spelled the same, but pronounced sound okay. and are pronounced differently.
Okay.
So here's the example. If I were to put a magical spell over a threshold that allowed me to come into somewhere, I would be trying to do this. Think of the title of this episode.
Natural entrance.
What's that second word?
Entrance.
Right. So every answer is going to have the same word twice, but in its two different forms.
Okay. Entrance, entrance.
Correct. Entrance, entrance. Entrance.
Okay.
So I'm great. Trying to entrance the entrance. Got Does it. That make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And great. In this situation, the first one is always the verb and the second one's always the noun.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So for 100, if I were Dolly Parton, I might go into the studio to do this.
To record a record?
That's right. Okay. There you go. So see how it's a heteronym? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's pronounced differently. Mm-hmm. For 200, if I were a park ranger at Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park and a hiker wanted to hike Tamichi Route, I might do this.
Permit a permit?
There you go. Okay. Okay, great. For 300. If I thought that the winner of the school bake-off cheated and I had evidence, I might do this.
Is present one of the words?
No. Think about if we're all in a bake-off mm-hmm. and it's a competition, then we've all entered a what?
Contest the contest.
There you go.
Okay.
For 400, if someone walked up to me and tried to hand me garbage, I would do this.
Scream at them.
mm-hmm. And say I didn't want the garbage and I rejected it. What would I be doing?
Refuse, refuse.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And for 500, if I got an email from customer service asking how they did, but I wanted to evaluate their evaluation rubric, I might do this.
Our score or grade, the word?
Nope. Nope. What else? When you have a customer service experience, what do they send you afterwards?
A survey? Survey the survey?
There you go.
Okay, great.
Survey, survey.
Okay, got it.
There you are.
Beautiful. All right.
I was inspired by the word entrance.
Mm-hmm. Entrance. Mm-hmm. Well, mine is a Jeopardy that's inspired all about entering into the national parks. So okay. I'm going to describe how you enter into specific national parks, and you're going to need to name the park.
Okay, great.
Because this was all about entering into Carlsbad.
Great.
So for 100, Driving south on Wawona Road, also known as Highway 41, will first take you through a tunnel. Exiting the tunnel will blow your mind with this valley view with some of the most iconic scenes in the national parks on display.
What is entering into Yosemite National Park?
That's correct. That's correct. For 200, driving east on Highway 9 from Hurricane, a town that seems out of place considering the desert environs, will eventually wind you closer to this park, where parking is limited and driving on the road is only for shuttles and guests of the lodge, tucked a little further into the canyon.
What is Zion National Park?
That's correct. For 300, from the airport, this national park is only 52 minutes away, although most things aren't too much over an hour from the airport here. Drive Route 37 and Highway 377 to arrive at one of the entrances to this park. Just be prepared for quite a climb and a ton of zigzagging roads.
What is Arches National
Incorrect.
Park? Okay.
Think about an airport where most things are only 52 minutes away from it. Where might I be?
That is an unspecific and very vague
That there's nothing outside of 52 minutes outside of that space.
Oh, what is Hawaii Volcanoes?
Not that one.
What is Haleakala
That's
National
right.
Park? Oh, okay, great.
I couldn't say island without giving it away.
Okay.
So I had to be a little tricky there. All right. For 400, this park has five entrances to choose from, which will lead you to a giant figure eight road in the quote-unquote center of the park, which can take you to the attractions within. If you head through the north entrance, you'll find yourself at the Roosevelt Gate, a stone archway commemorating Teddy himself.
What is Yellowstone
Correct.
National Park?
And for 500, from Highway 706, head east and you can't miss it. No, literally. It would be hard to miss this national park, as you can see it from quite a distance. After passing through the town of Longmire, you'll wind your way up the park road, over bridges, past waterfalls, and eventually to the launch for plenty of trailheads.
What is Sequoia?
This is a park you can literally see the main thing from miles away.
What is Mount Rainier?
That's right. And that's it.
There we go. That was really fun. I really liked that category.
Thanks. I liked yours too. I like you.
Thanks. I like you too. There's like a pause that happened. I like you.
No.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.